CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Wednesday, and it is the 7th of September. We are joined by the beautiful Candace Mama.
Hello, Gareth.
And
hello,
Ryan. And the not nearly as beautiful Ryan Timmons. How are you, Ryan?
What in that?
Well, I mean, ain't that the truth, right? Like, you know what? I've been introduced as the hideous hunchback of Notre Dame at least 10 times in my career. So,
yeah. The bell.
I'll take that intro.
Yeah, of course. Don't worry. So, at least I said the not as beautiful as Candace Mama. That's like saying, you know, you're not as great a dancer as Beyonce or. I mean, that's all. It's not really an insult. It's not. I mean, it's. You know, she's a great dancer, so what do you expect? That's it. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get cracking. Oh my God. I went to sleep last night eventually. It was my mom's birthday, so my sister-in-law, God bless her, she's always trying to make a fuss of everybody in the family, which is terrific because, you know, she's one of the people in this family of mine who actually has, like, a heart, okay? And we've got a big party for my mother anyway on Saturday because she's turning 70, which is a big number. And a lot of people don't get to have their parents around up to the age of 70, so I know how lucky I am. And we all love my mother to pieces, and she really is. She is the absolute rock of the family, right? She manages to be a shock absorber. What happened to you, Ryan? You just went into the dark.
Sure. I think we either went into load shedding or we just came back on. It's one of the two. I never know.
So anyway, my sister-in-law, and you know, she really is like she's one of two people who actually have feelings in the family, she and my mom. So she's like, oh, let's make a fuss of your mom, to me, my sister, and my brother. So we're all like, oh, okay, but we know, you know, her party's on Saturday, so let's just do this anyway. Anyway, she took my mom out for lunch yesterday with my sister. That was very nice. Then she wanted me to host a dinner here at my house last night. But it was, you know, not a complicated thing. It was, we were going to order some food, so there wasn't going to be cooking or any of that stuff. But Eskom's load shedding started at 6 o'clock, which just ruined everything. So, yeah, I was feeling shit yesterday. I mean, I felt like I was going to pass out at any moment. I had aches and pains. I was coughing the whole time. I really was a total disaster. So I didn't really want to host anything yesterday. I was in no mood for any of that stuff. But I thought, you know what? It's my mom. You only turned 70 once. Make a fuss. Stop complaining. It's not about you. Right? Cool.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, in the dark, one of the dogs, because my sister brought her little corgi puppy and my mother brought their dogs. So we had these four fucking mutts running around. And one of them shat somewhere in the house. And in the dark, someone stood in it and walked it all the way through the house. So now I'm really enjoying the evening. You know, you can imagine. And no, all in all, I just could not wait to get into bed. I was like thinking the whole way through supper and everything else. And I know this is selfish and horrible, but I mean, if I can't tell it on my own show, then where can I tell it? But I couldn't. I could not wait for them to go home, all of them. And I love them, but oh man! And when I got into bed last night at about 9. I went straight to sleep, but I woke up 20 to 30 times, and I was sweating. I mean, it was like I was in a sauna, and I kept waking up and then opening up the bed covers and, like, just letting the cool air in, and I was like, drenched. And then I covered myself again, went back to sleep, and this must have happened, like, 20 or 30 times. So I don't know what the hell I had. It was felt like one of those diseases that people get in the movies.
You know, not in the movies.
You know, in the movies. You know, in the movies where they're like, they're sweating and they look like they're on the verge of death, and then 5 minutes later they're okay. That's what it felt like. So I don't know. God. I don't know what this is. Hopefully it'll be gone by tomorrow. But horrible.
I had what you're describing, Gareth.
Really?
Firstly, happy birthday to your mom.
Yeah, thanks.
Happy. But no, I had exactly what you're describing. I think it was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And when I say that it is one of those things that I actually don't blame you. I do not blame you for not wanting anyone around, for just wanting to go into bed, because it makes your body feel like even when you like do this with your neck, it's like stretch is like fatigue.
Right.
It's just like, I'm so tired.
I know there are probably a lot of our listeners, because they have no heart either. They're probably listening to this going, oh, what a lot of shit. You know, this guy's such a weakling. No, because they do. And I must tell you also, my stomach was not great yesterday, and I have a stomach like a concrete mixer. You can throw anything in there and it'll be fine. But last night, I was running up and down to the bathroom the whole bloody time as well. So I was so worried. I don't want to make anyone else sick, because, you know, there's this birthday party coming up on Saturday, and it's going to be like 60 of my mom's friends, and I can't have any of them ill. They need to be on form. So anyway, I had a shit night, and I was very worried that I was going to oversleep this morning for the show. And I was very concerned that I would, I'd feel terrible the whole way through the show. But for now, all is well. Let's proceed. It's not the end of the world. How are you, Candace?
Well, definitely better than you, Gareth.
Sure.
I'm like, whoa, I do not envy you, because I know when you're not feeling good in your body, that's one of the worst things. But other than that, I mean, Cape Town's amazing. Yeah. I have not been sleeping for the past two nights, which is devastating to me, because I'm a teeny tiny thing.
Yeah, you are.
And I can barely balance.
You weigh about 3 kilograms. She does.
Somewhere there.
Yeah.
Ballpark.
Right.
So I'm barely in balance when I'm getting sleep in terms of walking and doing everyday activities. When I'm tired, I can barely stand. Like in the Cape Town wind, I'm like, woo. Woo!
Yeah.
So yeah. So
but you guys have had you've had shocking weather. It's been rainy. It's been windy. It's been like, this is the worst time to be in Cape Town. Yeah. You know, I've got friends who live in Cape Town, and they always like, oh, it's so nice, but that's always in January. Well, December, January, February, and March probably.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and everybody looks at Cape Town's weather in that period, and they're like, oh, what a great place to live. If you really want to live in Cape Town, spend August and September there. Or even July, August, and September. And if you can survive that, then you are meant to live in Cape Town. Then you can handle. Right?
True story.
Right.
True story. Because the winds do not play here. Mm-hmm. Like, they do not play. And another thing is, the winds are miserable. The rain hits you from the side. So an umbrella doesn't work. And so you're trying to walk. And it's also a comedy act. If you watch people walking, it's just a sad little comedy act. So.
Oh, my God. So, Ryan, what's happening with you?
Oh, man. Don't even get me started. Last night was just terrible.
Why?
I was watched the football last night. Chelsea lost to a team I've never heard of. Then Justin Bieber cancels his world tour.
Oh, so he's not coming anymore?
Not coming anymore. He's canceled the whole thing.
Was that because he had that stroke thing, or is there something else?
Mental health.
Health
issues.
Can we talk about this?
Yep,
let's talk about this, because I know you guys feel strongly about a bunch of things, and I know neither of you are going to really pussyfoot around this thing. So Yaku from Catalytic, who's one of our clients, he popped into my office yesterday. And look, I won't lie, I'm in a foul mood at the moment because I'm feeling shit. And when I feel shit, I tend to cut to the chase and say things I really feel. There's no diplomacy. I revert back to my base personality, which is pretty horrible. So he walks into the office, and I like Yaku a lot, so he and I can talk anytime. So he comes in, and he's like, oh, my God. He was complaining about someone at his office, right? And he's like, this person, they've been using mental health as an excuse for the last 6 weeks or whatever. They haven't been coming to the office. So he and I launch into this thing, and his HR boss is there as well, someone called Ande. And then there's Rena, my business partner. And Ande and Rena are like really good at handling people. And they are much more kind of sensitive. They're good at like getting teams to work properly. They want to know people's personalities. They can figure out the best way to get the best out of people. Whereas Yaku and I are like, if you don't do the job and you don't deliver the results we want to kill you and get you out of our business, right? So the two of us are like having a full go and attacking like all this mental health stuff, because here's the truth. And I even said this yesterday. There are obviously people who have serious mental health problems, right? There are people who suffer. I mean, one of my friends, she's an absolute sweetheart, but she checked herself into a psychiatric hospital, and she is bipolar, but properly bipolar. I mean, she's not making this up. This is not an attention-seeking thing. And she's checked herself in, and she has 3 weeks she has to spend in there. And she was telling me, she phoned me on my birthday 2 weeks ago, and she's like, listen, I've checked myself in. If I need to break out, please come. So I'm like, no, no problem. I'll be there with the wire cutters and all this shit. Because I don't take any of this stuff as seriously. But, you know, she's got a real condition. So she has to deal with this seriously and take it as a problem and try to find a solution to it, whether that's medication and therapy, which I think in her case she's doing both, or whatever. So I don't doubt for a second that she has a real issue there. However, there are so many people at the moment, because mental health is the kind of thing that you can say, oh, well, I'm suffering from a mental health thing. It gets you out of everything, right? And people are too scared to ask, well, what kind of mental health thing? And you can basically say, oh, depression and anxiety, one of those two. And then they'll leave you alone, and you're allowed to get away with whatever you want. So people will miss work. People will say they can't complete a project. People will say they can't make it to a meeting. Why? Because, oh, well, I'm mental health, whatever. And it's happening more and more. You know, Prince Harry basically got out of all his royal family duties by saying, oh, my mental health. And he just doesn't do any work. And he's never done any work anyway, if you ask me. But now he does even less because he just claims to have mental health issues. So I don't know that all of this isn't a great smokescreen for lazy people. And I want to again say, there are real problems. There are people who have serious problems. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to minimize those people's suffering or make fun of them or not take them seriously. But all the other ones who are just claiming this because it gets them a day off or whatever, you guys are doing huge damage to the mental health discussion. Huge damage. You're making it trivial and you're making it silly, and you're doing everybody an enormous disservice.
Oh. But you know what it is, Gareth? And I think using the caveat of the fact that we are not talking about people who really have mental health issues.
Sure.
But what I'm finding is what you're speaking about leads us into what society is becoming, which is this victim culture. Like, we're rewarding victimhood, and we're rewarding people who come out and tweet about the fact that they're going through a mental breakdown.
Right.
Or they'll tweet about, like, oh, I'm just having a really tough day, pray for me. Or, you know, whatever's really, people are starting to reach for the most dramatic and drastic thing that they can tweet or post or whatever, communicate, because they know that they're going to get rewarded for it. They know that they're going to be 100 reshares and 100 retweets and so on and so forth. And I think for me, it becomes a problem, because then we stop being able to differentiate between those with serious mental health conditions who tend to not talk about it as much and aren't as vocal because they feel as though there's a shame attached, right? The truth is, people with real mental health issues, I am one of those. I've had depression in my past. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a shame attached there where you're like, oh, I don't want people to think that life is breaking me and I'm not strong enough to survive. And you're just constantly going through a lot internally. And most of the time, you struggle to actually communicate what you're experiencing. And I think today, people are just using it. And it's like, oh, I'm a victim. You're a victim. Let's be victims together. I don't feel like going to work because, you know, my job is so hard. No. Jobs have been hard since the start of time.
Yes, that is not a mental health issue.
That's just you hating your job like everyone else.
Right. Yeah. Spot on. No, you just articulated it very well. And I think there's an element of this that has to do with attention on social media, something we covered yesterday in the show in quite some detail. We talked about how there are people who just basically exist to get attention from strangers. And if you can claim that you are suffering in some way, that you're a victim of something, then that has become a badge of honor that people wear. So I totally agree with you. And it's like this, there's this weird thing. We've discussed this a couple of times on the show before. There's a weird thing in the world at the moment that people believe you should always be happy. Happy should be your default setting. And any diversion from happy is bad. It means there's some pathology there. That's not true. Life has never been through all of human history, mostly happy. There have been moments of happiness in every lifetime. You know, when someone's kid is born, when they get married, when, you know, they happen to do something exciting, they get a new job that they really want, they fall in love, they have sex with someone they wanted to have sex with for a long time. Those are all moments of happiness. But actually, the parts in between, for the great majority of human history and for the great majority of most people's lives, have been pretty damn hard. You know, people doing manual labor, working outdoors, working in difficult conditions, having to deal with disease and poverty and difficult war, all kinds of things that humans have dealt with over centuries. Happiness has been these little like pinpricks of light through a canvas of black. And we shouldn't forget that, because these days we expect, you know, we look at Instagram, for example, and we expect, oh, well, my life is meant to be happy and wealthy and full of travel and, you know, excitement and great experiences. No, that's not what the average human being is meant to experience in life. In fact, you could even argue that someone who's happy all the time might be just as not so good in the head as someone who's depressed.
Yeah. Oh. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine who was on antidepressants once.
Mm.
And I just asked him, like, we're at a bar, and I said to him, you know, what's it like? Because, you know, there's been times when I've like considered, I just want to find out what it's like.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he said, Ryan, if you have the chance, do not get on them. Because he says, you know what, I'm happy all the time. And he says, it's great. But he says, it takes that thing of life away where you can experience every single emotion in the spectrum. He says, like, being able to be sad, being able to be angry, it's a really cool thing. When you're happy all the time, he says, it's like flat, like you just hit this point and you just you know. And I thought that was quite interesting.
I might argue, like, man, everyone's experience is different, so I have been on antidepressants for a short period of time. I wouldn't say the word is happy. I'd say the word is, like, you just kind of flatline. You're neither happy nor sad.
Mm-hmm.
You're just indifferent. You're like, your emotional baseline is indifference. So you're not at the extreme end of wanting to, like, completely, you know, let go of life. But you're also not on the extreme end of being, like, elated and skipping through the field. I think what it's really trying to explain is antidepressants are designed to neutralize your emotions. And so when you are taking them initially, there may be a peak of dopamine because obviously you come from a very low baseline. That's why you're on them. But then after that, it's just not much of a feeling. You don't really feel anything. You're just kind of like in this numbness. It puts you in a place of being numb to life, to reality. And I think that's why I would say antidepressants are probably not the best long-term solution, unless you're dramatic, like you're in a place whereby you don't want to survive, and you're going through severe stress and pressure. But I wouldn't say a long-term solution to life, because as you said, it is not a good time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, living's meant to have challenges in it, and overcoming those challenges is actually the real meaning of life. The real meaning of life, not to have the soft existence where everything goes your way. Yeah, and we all think about this, I'm sure. You guys both, and everybody who's listening to us, but everybody's thought, wow, it must be nice to have a life where you don't worry about money, where you're in good health, where you have loads of really meaningful relationships, you do stuff that gives you tremendous satisfaction, and you feel like you're making a contribution to humanity and all that kind of thing. And life must be amazing then. It must be so easy for those people. But if you don't have challenges in your life, you actually aren't living. That's the truth. Yeah. People don't want to face that because it requires discomfort and it requires uphill battles and it requires lifting heavy things. And you know, all of that shit's part of life. It's a good part of life. It's something we should look to as, you know, these are the things that test us, that actually figure out the value of your makeup, your character. If you don't have anything to challenge you, then of course you can be this soft marshmallow who just floats through life and everything's easy. But no one respects those people. We all know people like that. We know people who've either inherited a bunch of money or they've always had their parents or their friends or their family like shield them from difficulty. They're not very interesting people to talk to. They very seldom think about anyone but themselves. And their lives are quite dreary by comparison, because if you didn't go through some tough stuff, you wouldn't know those highs and lows that Candace is talking about when she's on the antidepressants. And if you don't know those, then your whole life is like being on antidepressants. And I think that that must be very, very uninteresting. All right. Anyway, so a lot of people commenting on how good Candace is looking. Obviously, all the perverts in the comments. Carl says, yes, but this Candace is easy on the eyes. Hey, I mean.
Thank you,
unbelievable.
Carl.
Unbelievable. Derek saying Candace is half naked. No, she's not. What are you talking about? Look at her. No, nonsense. You can see she's wearing a very nice outfit there. She looks terrific. You people.
Gosh. Thanks, Derek. Well, I think in your imagination, I'm half naked, which is fine.
Yeah, let me imagine. Right. Yonder says, I've always struggled with this subject as well until I dated someone who had depression. It's inexplicable and has a very deep complexity of emotions and events that occurred in their lives. Absolutely. Look, again, to go right back to the beginning, there are people in this world who are really suffering physically, mentally, emotionally. They're having a tough time. Those are not the people we're talking about this morning. We're talking about just ordinary old average people who either will wear it as a badge of honor, where it is not that. It's a difficult thing that no one wants. No one wakes up in the morning and goes, sure, I wish I was depressed or a more serious mental condition than depression. No one wakes up in the morning and goes, oh, I wish no one cared about me. No one wakes up in the morning and goes, I wish I was poor and miserable and suffering. Of course not. These are not things people would ask for. But there is this perverse incentive structure that's been built by society where you will get outsized attention for claiming to be in difficulty. Because let's face it, in the last 20 to 30 years, there's been this incredible emphasis on equality and on suffering and on victimization and on how everybody needs to be given the same chance, because history has been so full of exactly the opposite, right? So what we've got to realize is that we are living through a period where human beings are coming to grips with inequality and unfairness and victimization. So for the first time ever, the underdog has a chance of getting a little bit of love. And some of these underdogs are taking full advantage of it and making a mockery of the whole thing. And some of them are getting a fair amount of retribution for thousands of years of not being given attention. That's all we are. If you look at it historically, that's where we're at. I want to move on, though, because this is getting a bit dreary. So there are a couple of things we want to talk about this morning. I've got to get some voice notes out first. Let's listen to a couple of these. Here's one.
Hello. This is Donald J. Trump, and when I'm not grabbing women by their pussies, I'm listening to the Gareth Cliff Show, number one podcast in the shithole continent named Africa. It's the best podcast. It's so good. It's so good. You would not believe me when I tell you that it's so good.
That's great. So there's Donald Trump. He listens. That's nice, isn't it? Not a bad Donald Trump impersonation there, whoever that is.
Hey, GCS team. Liesl here. Seeing that the password thing is still a thing this morning, Gareth, there's one solution. Android, baby, Android.
Yep.
To Leanne, in terms of passwords and remembering them, yes, forget Dashlane and forget LastPass. But if you take Afrikaans idioms and a whole lot of swear words, you'll remember all your passwords all the time. Hope this helps. Have a good day.
All right, Liesl. The password thing, it continues to be a discussion. Candace, how often do you change your passwords?
I haven't. Oh, no. I am terrible because I was about to get myself hacked because I was like, I haven't changed my password since high school. Oh. Now, well, after the show, I will.
Okay. Yeah. Please do. Please do. That's crazy.
I know. It's just. It you know, it was one of those things when we were setting up passwords, and it was so cool for like Facebook, that I just loved this one password, which is actually very predictable. And then, yeah, I kind of stuck with it for life. And now everything in my life is a variation of like two or three passwords. Oof, I am a security risk walking just...
Well, Carl says Android is for poor people. That's not nice. Oh, I mean, that's horrible. Okay.
I disagree.
I don't think that's true. I've become a slave to Apple. I can't escape them now. It's too late for me.
Same.
I can't get away. So I'm in the ecosystem, and there's just no way out. Sorry. That's how it's going to go, Liesl, but thank you for that voice note. All right. So, Ryan, isn't tonight, speaking of Apple, some kind of event? They're doing the launch of iOS 16, right?
Yeah, and the new iPhone's also been launched tonight, which is really cool, the iPhone 14.
All right.
Well, so that's going to be cool. Tim Cook's going to be out there. I don't know.
Yeah, because he's the world's because he's so exciting. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
If you go to a party and Tim Cook is the guy that you end up talking to, you've gone to a bad party. He's no excitement. Listen, he seems to be running the business very well. And obviously, he's the CEO of a major, major company, maybe one of the biggest three companies in the world. So obviously, you'd be like, wow, I met Tim Cook last night. But if he weren't the CEO of Apple and you could invite 20 people to dinner, I don't think he'd be among them.
No, definitely not. But
I mean, compared to Steve Jobs, right, who you could tell was like a really interesting human being. Tim Cook is one of those people who can manage the business. He can run things nicely, but he's not the kind of guy you'd get excited to meet. Am I right?
I think that's why they leave him on for last at the end of the speeches.
Yeah,
comes on last.
They have to build him. They have to hype him up.
Yeah, I know. It's quite exciting. Mash has been, I don't know if you've seen Mash, he's very hectic on the technical side. So he's been on the beta testing side of iOS 16 for the phones.
Okay.
He's had a couple of glitches over the past. He tried to sign me up to try and so I could experience the glitches with him. And I said, no, I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
Because I think iOS 16 launches on the 14th of September, if I'm not mistaken.
So you got to wait another 7 days.
So it's not, So tonight they're going to talk about it. They're going to talk about the new iPhone. And I already spoke to Greg yesterday and he's like, Ryan, they're not going to do anything Android hasn't already done. And I was like, Greg, listen, this is going to be one of the greatest phones. Stop being stubborn. Just move to Apple. But that's tonight. So that's exciting.
I would have been excited if tonight we could have downloaded iOS 16, but clearly not.
Same, yeah. And it's completely different, by the way. Mash is showing me on his phone, it's a complete new look. It's like a complete overhaul. So it's very exciting stuff.
Okay. I used to get really excited about these things, but once bitten, twice shy. I realize it's not going to be like some earth-shattering, world-changing thing. So I'm always like, there's another iOS coming and it's going to be more or less the same. So if this one is quite different, good. Then I'll have a reason to get excited again.
I agree with you, Gareth. Mm. I think for so long, there used to be a time in history. Now I seem like those old people.
Yeah.
But when things would happen, whether it was the release of a new phone or software, whatever, where it was actually something to get excited about. Yeah. We would be like, oh my goodness. But now I feel like because we get given stuff so much and so frequently in every platform, I don't know. It's really hard to get excited. It's very hard to be like, yay, us with our new iOS. It's just, meh, we'll see what it is. And it's really hard to be like, I mean, you're very excited, Ryan.
Yeah, clearly.
But I will borrow from your excitement.
Yeah, I think it'll be a nice switch up because I feel like we've been using the same system for a while now. So it'll be good to try something new.
I mentioned this yesterday, and maybe you guys have got some clarity from your side, but one of my friends is already, she's already planning December and the holidays and things. And to me, think about that now, it puts me under huge pressure. I'm like, no, I haven't thought about that at all. I don't want to think about, New Year or Christmas or December holiday. I don't want to think about that now.
Oh, the anxiety that hit my soul when you said December. I was like, woo, did I eat cereal this morning? It is churning. No, God, no. Did I make it through September and October?
Yeah, then like, maybe October I'll start thinking about
it. Second week, like I think like the second week of November, the first week of November, like that's when December chats can like start entering the WhatsApp group. But you speak to me about December anytime earlier than the last week of October. I don't want to talk to you. Like, it's too much pressure, too much anxiety. Oof.
All right. No. Well,
where are they planning on going?
No, I don't know. She's busy talking about locally. It won't be international travel. Oh, that's too expensive. No one. I don't know a lot of people who are going to be going away. I mean, I've had friends who went to Europe now during the European summer, but a handful of them who have lots of money. The rest of my friends and me, we're like, no, we'll be staying here, thank you. None of that.
I mean, I don't know, but my Instagram people happen, I don't know. They're rich.
Yeah,
they I don't know where they get their money from.
Yeah.
I'm like, where do we get these donors? Because I'm very confused. Everyone in Greece, in Europe, in Paris, I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, who's my investment planner? And why can I not be posting bikini pictures in Dubai or Greece at the moment?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It seems like people are really rich out here, Gareth. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
going to be interesting.
Clearly, it's just us. But, I mean, Ruth is also saying you should book now because it's going to be manic. People are dying to book ahead. There won't be much place left for bookings. People are dying to live again. Well, it's probably true. So, maybe I should just hop on that bandwagon and see what they're up to and just like, you know, grandfather myself in. Here's a news headline you need to know about. We were talking about social media just a moment ago. So there's a warning for WhatsApp group admins. Apparently, if you are a group admin on WhatsApp, you can be held legally responsible if someone posts hate speech or, you know, something really, really noxious and terrible on WhatsApp. You as a group admin can be held responsible. That's what they're saying. Digital Law Company, that's Emma Sadler, she's warned WhatsApp group admins should take note of a recent update to the app that could hold them legally liable for users' posts. In a recent video published on YouTube, she described the WhatsApp update as a game changer under South African law. It really brings to an end the debate we've been having for a long time in legal circles about whether or not the group admin of a WhatsApp group is responsible for the content on that group. WhatsApp recently started rolling out the ability for group admins to delete messages of other participants in a chat, following a brief testing period where the feature was only available to beta users. If you're the admin of a WhatsApp group because of this change, you become legally responsible for everything that appears in the group. If somebody is abusing a group, or they're sending hate speech, threats, incitement, racism, and content which is illegal, if you don't delete the content, you become legally responsible for it. How do you like that? Huh?
Oof.
I love the way, like, they don't tell anyone.
No.
Like, it has to come out in a news article.
Right.
It's not like on a WhatsApp update, like, you need to control all the people in the group.
Well,
like,
all I know is just to be sure, just to be safe, I'm probably going to just resign as group admin in all the groups that I'm an admin for.
True story.
Then I can be irresponsible.
That's the first thing I thought.
Right. So
I was like, you know what? I don't even like the fact that I'm an admin of most groups. I'm like, my family can figure it out on their own. So I'm just like, you know what? I am giving over the crown to someone more legally responsible because I am not trying to get. But also, it's really difficult because for me, I love this. Actually, I do love this in the sense that I feel like, you know, the internet has been the wild, wild west for a very long time.
Yes.
And we haven't really had many, like, you know, parameters on how people operate on there. So that part I love. The part I'm not 100% sure on is I believe and I see in my experience that so many people are oversensitized. Like, people are so oversensitive to all speech, not just hate speech, but all speech. And I'm like, this becomes very shaky territory, especially if we look at Andrew Tate back where, and now that people can literally just get wiped and erased off the internet. I don't know. I'm not really excited about the idea of, you know, the way things are changing for people to be getting legally, you know, in legal trouble because they use the wrong you know, reference point for someone because they forgot it was a he and it was a she and it was
exactly.
a they and it was
well,
a them.
Well, I'll tell you what, if anyone had to become, if anyone was to eavesdrop on at least a few of my groups that I'm on with friends, they'd be horrified at some of the stuff that goes on there. Just like really gross stuff, you know, like people being crushed by large objects, you know, really like just upsetting, really gross things. There are a couple of groups I belong to where that happens. And I've just become numb to it. So now I just like, oh, thanks for the video or whatever. But I'll tell you what.
You're not the group admin.
No. Luckily not. But even if I was, I don't really think that on those groups it makes any difference. We don't give a shit what the rules are on those groups. We're not the kind of people who are going to be sensitive about anything either. Although you never know. There might be someone in there who's going through a bad day and they decide to complain. This is what you've got to know. And this is why you shouldn't be a group admin if you don't think that you're the one who can make these calls. Or you should be a group admin because you're the only one who's responsible enough to delete stuff. But I fail to see if you delete things as a group admin, is everything okay then? So if someone posts something that's really, really offensive and terrible, and you delete it as the group admin, is everybody safe then? Is it all right? Is no one going to get held responsible for this?
And is there also like a time limit?
Yeah, right. What if you do it like a day later or something? You know?
Because who's got the time to monitor groups all day? No, I don't.
I know.
And let me tell
you. Sounds like a nightmare.
Some of these groups that I'm on, and there's a fortune of them, some of them that I've forgotten I'm even on, about cryptocurrencies, about, you know, humor, about like groups of friends of mine from varsity. There's like tons of groups. Some of them I mute because there's so many messages on a daily basis that you just can't keep up. And also, do you really think in this country, our judiciary, our legal system is going to be able to keep up with this? We have serious problems. We have people being murdered and raped and really shit things happening every day. You really think like a case about a group admin who didn't delete something is going to get to the courts? I don't think so.
Yeah. I think that might be the most beautiful irony if it did. I think I'd be like, look at us stepping up when it doesn't matter.
Right.
There would be something ironic about it.
Tracy says, put someone behind a keyboard and they're sensitive as fuck. Keyboard Karens. We should all keyboard just move to the Russian alternative Telegram, says Psilocybe. And Sean says, we should use view once only option on WhatsApp. I think that's available. You just have to, when you send a picture to someone, you can say view once. So if, for example, you know, you're not sure and someone might be sensitive to something or you send them something and it's like, you know, maybe it's overtly political or whatever. You can have a view once, then they can see it, but they can't actually see it again or store it in there.
But now are there legal implications on that?
I don't know.
Like that's what I want to know.
So it's so complicated. Right. I don't think we know the answer to this. Apparently, Fikile Mbalula, who's the Minister of Transport, wants to introduce a new driver's license card. Now, I don't know about you, but I just got my new driver's license card. I got it this year because mine expired. And I went through, got a new one. So this one lasts for 5 years. And now he says this technology has become obsolete. Yeah. It sounds to me like it's a money-making scheme. But anyway, he said the department will publish the changes to the driver's license card in the Government Gazette. The department will start the procurement process for new production infrastructure next month and pilot the new card from November the 1st until March 31st, 2024. Current driver's license card and equipment used to produce it will be decommissioned on April the 1st of 2024. However, there will be a five-year period of transition from the old card to the new one. The current cards will continue to be recognized as valid until 2029. So in other words, you haven't wasted your time if you just got it updated. He said the department had earlier committed to a review of the renewal period. See, I also don't understand why we need to have our cards replaced every 5 years. I would say 10 years is probably a better time.
My whole thing is, why are we still on cards? In Australia, they've already gone digital.
Yeah, even better.
Like on your phone.
Even better.
Like why are we still carrying cards around?
Right.
Well, Ryan, how dare you question spending money in South Africa?
Right.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Okay, because if we never miss an opportunity to throw away money into a useless campaign. True. Okay, like true. It's like if it's not a flag, it's a new driver's card. Like it's just, we will never go digital because it's just one of those things where it's like, just take my money. It's just one of those. So I'm not excited about it, to be honest. I don't think anyone's excited about a government queue and a card that we're probably going to change again once a new minister's in office. So, yeah, this is probably another waste of time thing in the South African climate.
I'm always very happy to jump on the wagon and criticize Fikile Mbalula because I do think he's, you know, slightly embarrassing and he doesn't really know what he's doing. Like, he's a bit of a like a man child most of the time. But I will give credit where credit is due. And I said that I went to a particularly good Road Traffic Management Corporation office when I got my card. I was blown away by their service. And he has managed under his time as transport minister, he's managed to reduce the waiting period for the driver's license card from 58 working days in April to 10 working days in July. Now that deserves, I think, a round of applause. Yeah, so well done.
Fair enough.
You know what, Fikile? I say lots of horrible things about you. You've said lots of horrible things about me, so we're equal on that front. But in this case, well done. Like that's one thing you've done. And there's still lots of things in the transport sector that need huge attention, but I'll give you credit for this one.
I'd love to just have been in the room when he came up with this idea, like, oh, you know what? These cards need to be changed. Mm. Why are we still on this?
Yeah.
No, someone probably gave him a driver's license, and right. I can just see the horror in his face, like, ah, we need new ones.
Right, exactly. But also, you know that, like, as Candace says, a lot of this is just about spending more money and finding ways to, like, you know, get caters, new tenders.
Do you know who makes all that money? It's those little caravans outside the traffic place when you have to get the photos done. They charge you, like, 80 rand because you didn't want to go spend 30 at the Photoshop. You didn't have time. Catches me every time.
So guess who has been banned from Russia? There are two people, famous people who've been banned from Russia. It seems like the celebrity thing to do at the moment, to go and schmooze with Vladimir Zelensky, right? So Kremlin officials have added actors Ben Stiller and Sean Penn to Russia's stop list, meaning they're now banned from entering the country. Now, you know, this is like talk about a badge of honor. These guys go to Hollywood parties now and, you know, Ben Stiller and Sean Penn are like, oh, we're such activists that we've been banned from Russia. You can imagine, you know, at some Hollywood soiree where everybody's, you know, sipping cocktails and taking drugs and, I don't know, hanging around with, you know, each other and telling each other how great they are. These guys are all walk into the room and they go, oh, you know, I am one of only two people in this room who've been banned from Russia because I'm so important and I'm such an activist. So Ben Stiller and Sean Penn. Now, I'm not surprised about Sean Penn at all, but Ben Stiller, did you know he was political?
Activist?
No.
No,
I mean, but if ever there was a time in history to be an activist, I mean, now is it. Choose something. There's so many causes. Right. There's so much stuff happening in the world. And if you want it on your resume, if you want to die with that activism on your tombstone, today's the day in history. Do not miss your mark, kids.
Well, there's Ben Stiller meeting Zelensky. Oh, you know, it's like a photo op. This is more important for Hollywood actors than the red carpet at the Oscars because you're like, oh, wow. You know, you're involving yourself in international relations and things. Don't tell me that Ben Stiller or Sean Penn have any effect whatsoever on what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. They are there for themselves. They're in it for a little bit of the shine and the excitement that comes with being involved in a relevant story of the moment. But it's nonsense. So there's Ben Stiller meeting Zelensky, and this is now a big deal. So who else is on this list of people who are banned?
Yeah, well, that's what I want to know, because how many people actually went and visited the Ukraine before this whole thing?
Well, Boris Johnson, Joe Biden, Morgan Freeman is on the list. Who knew? Right? Morgan Freeman, apparently he's been on the list for a long time.
Okay, but for Morgan Freeman, there's just something about Morgan where he can do no wrong.
Yeah,
well, for him, I was like, you know what? Yes, he deserves his activism. I'm like, that voice alone deserves activism awards. So I'm not mad at Morgan.
Well, there are 1,073 names on Russia's stop list, which includes U.S. film director Rob Reiner, incoming British Prime Minister Liz Truss, and scores of UK, US, and EU officials. The latest retaliatory measures come as a response to sanctions by the US administration. The latest were announced on Friday as part of a wider plan by the G7 to impose a price cap on Russian oil in a bid to scupper Moscow's ability to finance its war. Well, that's really stupid because Russia want to sell their oil and gas to Europe, who are about to start winter and need oil and gas. But let's see how this goes. You know, these are also the same people who listen to Greta Thunberg, who now have to worry about, you know, not having enough power for the winter. So let's see what happens. Candace, I just have to compliment you because you've got, like, great lighting. No, really, this is terrific.
It's the gods that have shone upon me. Let me tell you. Yeah, no, the sun's starting to rise where I am.
Perfect background. No windows in your background. This is very important. You know, we learned this at the beginning of the pandemic. Like, you have to have a good setup. Your setup is great. We can see there's a mirror and some flowers to the one side. It's beautifully arranged. You know, you've got this lovely wall in the background, which is textured. You're dressed nicely.
I feel like it's a very Cape Town thing. You know what I mean?
No,
we're giving Cape Town credit?
No, give Candace credit. We've spoken to lots of people in Cape Town who go to no trouble at all. But I love it. There's lighting, good lighting around. There's mood lighting in the background. You know, we can see your expressions. You look terrific. This is really good. Everybody who comes on the show from now on, we use Candace's setup here as the reference. Okay?
In the workshop, in the how do you get onto Gareth's workshop.
Absolutely.
This. No.
Right.
Thank you, Gareth.
So well done. Just, you know, give credit where it's due. Just like we did to Fikile, we're going to give you credit where it's due for your excellent setup this morning.
Thank you, Gareth.
There's a diamond that has fetched $21 million, or will fetch $21 million, they say, at an auction. It's a pink diamond, a dazzling pink diamond. I've got to show you a picture of this, right, obviously.
Please.
But, how big is this diamond?
But I know, you know, when Candace gets married one day, then she's obviously going to.
That's, you know, you were in my mind, Gareth. I was like, I need to go to this auction, not to bid on the diamond, to see who bid on the diamond.
Right. Because, like, I mean, like this, whoever this dude is who buys this, or girl, this is the perfect, and I somehow feel that it's going to be an extremely, extremely rich person who's just got nothing else to do with their money.
Of course.
But this is the stone that is getting everyone's attention at the moment. You know, from time to time, these stories come up. So according to CNN, a dazzling pink diamond described as one of the world's purest could fetch more than $21 million when it goes under the hammer at Hong Kong's auction house Sotheby's on Wednesday. At 11.15 carats, the cushion-shaped gem is called the Williamson Pink Star, in tribute to two other pink diamonds. One is the CTF Pink Star, which is 59 carats. That's sold for $71.2 million. And the other is the Williamson Stone, which is 23.6 carats. So this one is smaller, but wow, look at the color on this thing. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
How's that? Pretty, huh?
Wow.
Oof. I died and went to heaven.
$21 million.
Well, I mean, it shows up for the occasion. I'll put it that way. But the pressure... Gareth, don't you feel like there would be so much pressure to wear this thing, knowing, like, I mean, I feel like as a woman, the idea of it is better than actually having it. It's because, like, you know, as a woman, we always want to date, like, the hottest guy in the world until he overshadows you everywhere you go. Then it's not a good time. Same thing with the ring.
You couldn't wear that ring in South Africa because if you did, the next buyer would get your finger as part of the... package. Oof. You know, they'd cut your whole hand off just to get the diamond. So
but in fairness, Gareth, wouldn't you like be aware of where your hand is at all times? Like, you can't accidentally hit your hand on the counter. You can't do anything. It's just too much pressure.
Well, there we go. If you got $21 million lying around and you feel like spending it on something pretty, then that's the stone for you, that new pink diamond. Speaking of what you could spend your money on and what you could do with your money, we're going to cross now live to Sean Sanders, who is, of course, with Revix. He's one of the co-founders of Revix. We're going to talk a little bit about cryptocurrencies. This is something everybody in the audience loves to do on a regular basis. And Sean, it's always good to have you on. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, morning. Good, thanks. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Would you buy that diamond for $21 million?
I think I can put my money to work elsewhere. But I mean, it's a beautiful diamond. Don't get me wrong.
But Sean, diamonds are not a great investment, right?
Not to my knowledge. Actually, that's one of the most, one of the poorest performing asset classes over the last few years. I think you've seen this artificial scarcity get created back in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
And since then, you've just seen sort of diamond prices move along. And now you've got artificial diamonds as well. So definitely not an asset class that I'd want to get involved in.
Well, let's talk about an asset class that you do want to get involved in and you are involved in. Let's talk about Ethereum and the merge that's going on there, because we hinted at this just a couple of weeks ago. How are we looking in that front? And you guys are apparently hosting an Ethereum webinar on the 14th. So this is something that I think a lot of people might want to come and join. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the merge is actually happening a little sooner than expected. This is the Ethereum upgrade. Mm-hmm. That's happening on the 15th. So that's sometime next week. And yeah, the Revix team, the investment team, they're putting together a webinar to talk about everything Ethereum merge related. And that's on the 14th next week at 6 o'clock South African time. So if you want to learn more about the merge and everything that's going on with Ethereum, come along to that webinar. The investment team are far smarter than me. They can answer a whole bunch of questions there. I don't even think it's not even a topic to get into, I think, in today's discussion. We spoke about it a lot last week. So if you want to learn more about it, maybe go listen to last week's episode.
Well, I saw you and a team of your people, Revix people, you were all on top of Lion's Head or something the other day. Is that right? You forced them to go
climbing mountains. Yeah,
You forced them to climb a mountain. How did they feel about that?
You know, we got a pretty big business now, right? So I think relatively speaking, so we've got 47 people. And when you say, hey, guys, come, let's go at 5 o'clock in the morning to climb Lion's Head during the middle of winter, Cape Town winter as well, you get a pretty poor turnout. So we've got 5.5 people that pretty much turned out. But overall, they made it to the top.
Now, I saw that on social media. Now, I also saw that you were, you've been at a couple of these what do you call them, like conferences, these shows that people have been hosting all over the world for cryptocurrencies. Tell us about a few of those before we go on to the other stuff.
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually off to Switzerland this weekend to go talk about all things crypto related in sort of the heart of Crypto Valley, being Zug.
Nice.
That's just near Zurich. I was at a conference last week, which was the Centec sort of telecom conference. That was a super interesting sort of discussion around the metaverse. And it's always quite interesting when you start talking about crypto, or you start talking about the metaverse or blockchain or AI, it just goes over so many people's heads. And it just reminds me every single time just how early we are really in a lot of these technologies. And the adoption curve you're still in sort of phase one. And I actually climbed on a plane yesterday because I flew to Johannesburg for just the day. And I just saw a whole bunch of people sitting on the plane, and everyone's seen this, holding up a newspaper.
Yeah.
And you just realize, like, wow, like there is still this analog world. People still engage with old media. And I mean, we have to just realize that. I mean, the adoption cycle is going to take a lot longer than what I think everyone thinks initially.
It's amazing to me that there are still people who like to read the newspaper, but you're right, there are. And there are lots of people who have never read a newspaper in their lives. They've used their phone for that pretty much their entire life long so far. You almost can't conceive of a world where both could coexist. Let's look at Cardano quickly, because that had a very rough, and continues to have a very rough period in, you know, what its price is at the moment and what it has been. But what's happening with Cardano? There's apparently a fork coming up. Now, this is always something people get excited about, and you can explain why again.
Yeah, so the Cardano network is going through very similar to sort of the Ethereum upgrade. The difference being is that this Vasil fork really is occurring. And Ethereum, I mean, we're not too sure just yet whether or not you're actually going to have a hard fork. Mm-hmm. And a hard fork, when you're looking at a blockchain, is very similar to what you had with Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash back in 2017, right, where you've actually got a blockchain that sort of splits into you'll essentially have sort of a Microsoft 95 being the older version, mm-hmm. and then you've got a Vista or whatever the newer version is, and that's sort of the fork that occurs. And the reason this occurs really is that you've got developers on the network that believe in different ways that the network should go. So maybe a certain group of developers believe that the network needs to have greater decentralization, while another group of developers believe that the blockchain network needs to be faster or have lower costs or whatever the story may be. And sometimes there's a trade-off between them. So that's certainly what happened with the Bitcoin network. And that's what's happening now with Cardano. So this network's actually a pretty interesting sort of competitor to Ethereum. And mm-hmm. you've seen a lot of developer interest and a lot of decentralized applications actually built on Cardano. And the difference between Cardano's upgrade versus Ethereum's upgrade is that Ethereum's upgrade isn't actually aimed at speeding up the network. And it's not actually aimed at reducing the transaction costs on the Ethereum network. I don't know if anyone has, and I mean, I'm sure loads of listeners have, but I don't know if anyone here has actually ever used the Ethereum network either to interact with an application or to perhaps, you know, engage with a smart contract. It is very expensive. I mean, you're looking at 350 to 500 Rand right now, and those are some of the lowest costs. And that's just any transaction, right? So the upgrade that's happening with Cardano is that all of a sudden you've got significantly lower transaction fees. You've got a faster network as well that emerges. So this is arguably a bigger upgrade than what's happening with Ethereum. The difference is obviously Cardano, it's the seventh largest cryptocurrency, not the second largest cryptocurrency that's occurring. And the other thing I think that's important to note is that the Ethereum upgrade is transitioning Ethereum from a certain consensus mechanism, being this proof of work system, to proof of stake, whereas Cardano has always been proof of stake. So it's a slight difference in that front as well.
All right. Well, the reality of the world at the moment is that inflation is probably on the horizon for many countries. It's certainly in everybody's mind. And people are concerned about this. Inflation means an increase in prices everywhere. It means an increase in interest rates. It means that if you owe money, you're going to be paying more in interest on that money. If you have money, you're going to be lending it out, and hopefully you'll be getting more as a result of that. But for many people, this is a very concerning thing, and for governments, it should be too. So, Sean, you have a vehicle which can help protect against inflation, and you can maybe explain the scenario a little bit better than I did just a second ago.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, inflation in South Africa, 7.8%. That's up from 7.4% in June. The U.S. inflation, I mean, it's crazy to say this, it's higher than South Africa. It's 8.5% right now. It's slightly down from where it was in June, which was, you know, sort of record levels around 9.1%. Eurozone inflation is also sitting around 9.1%. I mean, these are really high figures. I've made the joke a couple times on the podcast to actually say that we're able to predict the future, right? Because, right. I mean, go back 12, 18 months, we were talking about how this inflation conundrum is going to emerge. And that's exactly what's happened, right? Worldwide, mm-hmm. everyone's talking about inflation. Inflation is across every single Financial Times or Bloomberg article. And, well, what do you do in these sorts of situations, right? Mm-hmm. So will inflation come down over the next 12 months? It seems quite likely, right? You've got the petrol prices or the oil prices. They seem to be coming down. That's a big driver of inflation.
Right.
The other side of this is that you have got very hot labor markets currently in the US and elsewhere. It's quite likely that those markets change slightly. But then when you look at sort of where to put your money, right, you can't go and put your money into a savings account, really. Right. I mean, unless that savings account is returning pretty good interest because you're losing money to inflation. That means that you need assets that are inflation protectors. So what we did is we created a bundle to sort of address this. We actually launched this bundle about 9 months ago. It's called the Inflation Shield. And you kind of have to use the hand gesture when you do that, like the Inflation Shield bundle. And we've actually got a guy in the office, complete side note, a guy in the office in the investment team called Aaron. He literally looks like Superman. He very well may be Superman. And he came up with that. So now I can't help but do that whenever I talk about the Inflation Shield bundle. But this is a dynamically reweighted bundle. Now, without getting into too much of the specifics, you have a bundle that is 75% gold and 25% Bitcoin. And it dynamically reweights, so that weighting could change on a month-to-month basis depending on the performance of the two assets. Now, if you look at the longer-term performance, this is from 2016, gold has roughly returned just under 2.5% a year, so not really a good investment. Obviously, Bitcoin's performed really well. Now, maybe you don't want too much exposure to mm-hmm. Bitcoin, but by combining these two, you actually outperform both. And that's what's happened with the Inflation Shield bundle. You've got a bit of downside protection, and you've got the upside return that comes with Bitcoin. So you can head over to our platform, you can download our mobile app, and you can put 150 Rand if you wanted to into the Inflation Shield bundle or try out one of the other products that we have, of course.
Sounds awesome. I'm afraid we're out of time, but it's always good to catch up with you. There's Sean Sanders from Revix. You can find out more by going along to revix.com, the smart way to invest in crypto. Revix.com allows you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies, which automatically stays up to date with the ever-changing market. And as you say, Sean, there are all these amazing things that you've got now, like the Inflation Shield, and plenty of other good ones too. Yeah, there we go. So take a look at that ASAP. All right, thanks, Sean. Enjoy Switzerland, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Brilliant. Ciao, guys. Have a good day.
Bye.
Yeah, sure.
There it is, Revix.com with Sean Sanders, who, I mean, the guy's flying around the world, you know? This is he comes and talks to us every 2 weeks, but he's flying around the world, which is terrific.
Well, clearly the Inflation Shield, you see I did it, is working.
Damn right. Yeah, damn straight.
I feel like Sean plans his Decembers.
Oh, no, for sure.
I like Sean a lot, yeah. By the way. I think he's such a cool dude. I mean, but I think Sean, if anything, he is such a great representative of his company, right?
Yeah.
He does, people will sell stuff and you're like...
Listen, I mean, I've noticed like a lot of our listeners are pissed off about the, you know, the current price of Bitcoin and Ethereum and Cardano and all the rest of it. But that's not, I promise you, it's not Sean's fault, right? I need to explain this to people. Like they tend to be a bit stupid about this stuff. Not his fault that those things are not doing well, but they will. And I think if you believe in the long-term value of these things, which I do, that's why I haven't taken my investments and like cashed out while they're worth less, I believe they'll get back to where they were. And in the long run, and you've got to look at this long, there's a huge amount of money to be made, and there's enormous value in the future of this decentralized cryptocurrency stuff. So stick around. We'll keep updating you. We'll make sure that you're not left out in the dark. It is just after 7. Candace Mum is here. Ryan's here. I'm here. We're going to look after you until 8 o'clock. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.